Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is episode number 163. We're recording this on Sunday, January 21st, the day the Patriots clinched a berth to the Super Bowl. I got to say that. Come on. I mean, it's just, you know.
It was a good comeback. It was tight.
A little more odds than I wanted to have watching the game, but it did serve us well.
I'm sure.
That voice you hear is Tim's voice. We have Tim with us tonight. How are you?
Hi, folks. Hi, Lou. Good evening. I'm doing well. Yourself?
Awesome. I'm doing well, too. I am doing well. We have a missing man formation tonight. That we lost Lizzie. She needed a night off, so we graciously gave it to her.
No, she's actually lost. She's wandering around somewhere, and she, like... sent a message saying, I'm lost. I don't know where I am. She's lost.
And you decided not to help her, I see.
Just wandering around. I called you. And I said, Lou, Liz is lost.
It just neither one of us are in Florida.
Someone should do something about it.
So we put a message out on Twitter saying, Lizzie's lost. Let me find her.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So in her absence, we have a special guest tonight. Tim, since this is somebody you brought on, I'll let you introduce our special guest.
Ah, okay. Well, many of you know his name. Most of you know his name, as a matter of fact. The famous comedian talk show host, Jon Stewart.
You got Jon Stewart in the show tonight?
Yeah.
Wow. That is awesome. I love his TV stuff.
Not that one. This is a different one. I mean, don't be disappointed, because this one I think is just as good, if not better.
Okay, good.
John, say hi.
But see, the difference is I thought you just brought me because we were going to talk shutdown. I'm not talking to government shutdown here?
No.
We could.
This is not Stephen Colbert. I think I'm on the wrong show.
Podcast. Just pull the plug.
We do try to stay away from any kind of political stuff because we get yelled at usually when we talk about that.
Because I've expanded my political knowledge.
John's been a friend of mine for a long time. He's a geek like the rest of us. And John and I, you've actually heard me mention John on here and on Echo Base a number of times. Mm-hmm. John and I usually debrief various topics, MCU movies and other things. So he's been kind of itching to get on a podcast. He's a podcast virgin.
Ooh, do we have initiation for this, or is this just a?
Said I am not shaving my head.
Oh, come on, team bald guy, come on.
So now
tonight we're probably going to find out that all these great, you know, ideas that Tim's had over the years are probably really all John's.
You know, a couple of them here and there.
I usually get credit. So, yeah, and John's been a listener for the last several months of this show and of Echo Base, and I think he's gotten on to listening to some of the other shows as well. Awesome. So he knows the format. He's familiar with you. John and I have worked together, so as I've worked with Eric also, John and Eric have met.
Absolutely.
And, John, I'm sorry.
So I've traveled to the West Coast with both of them.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Wow. Well, we will try to go easy on us tonight, being your first time at everything. So
I appreciate Tim said you'd be gentle.
Welcome to the podcast, and can't wait to hear you talk about some of the stuff we're going to get into tonight. So
yeah,
that'll be a lot of fun. So let's just update ourselves on what we've been watching in the last week or so. Tim, what have you been screening lately?
Well, I'll tell you, I am so excited. Last Monday, my wife and I went to go see Jumanji, and it is worth every bit of hype that has been out there for. It is an absolutely incredible film. It's a solid A. I have no complaints about it whatsoever. It's funny. Awesome. There's action. It's a relevant movie. They didn't try to remake Jumanji. Mm-hmm. They didn't try to reboot it. It's just simply within the Jumanji universe. It's not officially a sequel. They do give a little bit of homage in a couple of places to the original movie, but it is absolutely worth watching. So for you guys and for our listeners, if folks have not yet seen it, go to the theater and see this movie. It is, seriously, you will not be disappointed. I was hugely impressed by it.
Now, Tim, did you wait to go and see it till after the movie draft totals were in, or was it that was just circumstance?
See, I told you John's been keeping up.
I'm glad to see John's not holding back on you, Tim. That's awesome.
No, sheer circumstance. This is just kind of when it came to be, and when we had the chance to go see it. But legit question.
I respect that. I know Lizzie would have asked that question.
Yeah.
She would have, definitely. She definitely would have. I did see somewhere that this is Sony's highest grossing movie outside of the Spider-Man stuff.
Oh, wow, really?
So, yeah, that's pretty impressive.
I'm not surprised. I mean, the cast is great. You know, the Rock is terrific in it. I honestly think that Jack Black and the role that he plays, I mean, just totally knocks it out of the park. He is insanely incredible in it. Really, really funny. They do very well in that movie. They really do.
It looks like a fun movie. I really do want to see it. I probably won't be able to see it until it's on video, but... it does look like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it just seems like The Rock, Kevin Hart, I think this is the third time that Jack Black has kind of joined them. They comically just nail it every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They come together quite well. And, oh gosh, I forgot her name. Nebula. Karen Gillian.
Yep.
She's really great in this. She's very funny. I mean, I've never seen her in a comedic role before. She's very funny. But she's also insanely actiony. So you see like all the stuff that she does, as Nebula in Guardians of the Galaxy, you see a lot of that athletic stuff come out in this movie really well too. So,
That's cool.
She does really well. She gels, I think, pretty well with the rest of the group. So, yeah, definitely go see it.
You know, I've got to admit, back when Dwayne The Rock Johnson first started acting, I thought, oh my God, what are we getting into here?
Yeah.
And he's done some amazing stuff. He's actually a really good actor.
He really is a great actor.
So, I've liked a lot of the stuff he's done. I haven't seen it all, but I've liked a lot of the stuff he's done, and hope he continues to keep doing the comedy stuff because he's really awesome in it.
Mm-hmm. I give him a lot of credit because it was, you know, one of the Mummy movies that first came out. And then he started making just these really bad kid movies. And the Tooth Fairy jumps out at me. And listening to an interview with him where they said, you know, why did he go that route? He basically admitted he wanted to make movies that his daughter could see.
Mm.
And he wasn't really into making the action movies. He wanted his daughter to be able to see his body of work. And then as she got older, he transitioned. And the fact that he managed to keep a movie career after making some abysmal movies.
Yeah.
He's unstoppable now. It's just absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, he's really good. He really has come into being a pretty impressive actor. I'm a fan of a number of his movies. And really, when you think about it, professional wrestling, there's a big acting, there's a big performance component to it.
Sure.
And, but that said, not all wrestlers can really become, you know, film or TV actors. While there's some similarity, it's still a completely different trade. And he's transitioned very well.
Yeah. I mean, and granted, a lot of the stuff, this is the first thing he's done, I think, that's been really well received, you know, numerically at the box office. Mm-hmm. Outside of the Furious movies, you know, the Fast and the Furious stuff, because those he had kind of a secondary role. He's kind of come into his own in that series now. But, you know, those did amazingly well at the box office, obviously. But this one here, you know, 316 for Jumanji is really doing well at the box office for a movie that probably didn't have a huge budget behind it.
Yeah.
I mean, his voice work, but Moana grossed pretty well as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, true. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, he has done some voice work. Yep.
Yeah, very true. So the other thing, and it's nothing that I'm new to watching. I've been watching the whole series, but I just kind of want to throw some kudos to it. And I was big on this, anticipating it when we did our fall TV preview, is SWAT. And I've been watching every episode of SWAT religiously, and it is freaking fantastic. So again, same recommendation to you guys, to our listeners. If folks are not watching SWAT, make sure you add that to your DVR list. It is an incredible show. They hit socially relevant topics, you know, some good current topics. The performances are great. The stories are great. You're getting a lot of good police action balanced with some good character development, which oftentimes these action-y shows tend to miss that character development side because they want to focus too much on the action. And SWAT has a real nice balance in it. You know, reasonably accurate in terms of police special operations from my perspective and my knowledge of that stuff. There are some things that I think they add in there for the Hollywood effect and for some story continuity.
Of course,
and obviously for the sake of time, I mean, it's kind of like the concept of watching, you know, CSI or any of those shows where it's absolutely amazing how they can solve a major crime in 48 minutes. It's mind blowing. Right. It's incredible.
You know, I'm always amazed at how good those cameras are and how they can zoom in to get the, you know, your business card, the guy's holding his hand at 1,000 yards.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
You can see that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, well, cool. I have yet to start watching SWAT. I definitely need to. It's on my list of stuff I want to catch up on and start watching, but I have not done it yet.
Yeah, it's really good. Both my wife and my niece love it too. So it's solid show. Solid show. I'm hoping we see it on the renewal list. I'm pretty confident that we will.
Nice. Well, I am still watching NFL, of course. You know, Patriots are in the playoffs, so you know they're going back to what I think is going to be renamed the Patriots Super Bowl pretty soon. So I'm happy about that. I've also been catching up on Star Trek Discovery. I know I reluctantly signed up for CBS All Access just to get access to that, and the first few episodes were okay. You know, it was nothing great, but it was kind of, you know, getting used to a new series again. And I finally caught up to they had a winter break right around, I guess, late November, started the beginning of January with new episodes. I think there's two or maybe three episodes, maybe the third one's coming out tonight or tomorrow, since that break. And I finally started watching the first one after the break the other night. And I'm on board now. It's a whole new ball game with what changed at that break period. And I'm like, okay. So I'm pretty happy with Discovery. I think people should give it a chance if they can get access to it, if it's on Netflix later on, or if it's some other way besides NBC All or CBS All Access. Still not happy I'm paying for it, but I'm happy with the way the story's going, and the change they made at the midseason break explains away a lot of the stuff that I was concerned about as far as continuity of technology and continuity of storyline and what things are doing with you know, how this plays into the rest of the Star Trek, you know, franchise. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty happy with that.
Good.
My wife and I are also catching up on Dexter. I know it's an old series, been out for a while, but off the air. We are on season 5 now, and I'm still really enjoying Dexter.
Cool.
If you guys haven't watched it, I would say, you know, go back and see it again because it still holds up pretty well. It's a pretty good series.
Cool.
Yeah, that was always on one of my lists I never got to.
Yeah, it was one of the things I never got to it. And then I found out my wife wanted to watch it too. And I'm like, well, let's watch it on Netflix. So that's what we're kind of watching it.
Right.
And it's good. It holds up really well. I mean, the premise is he's a blood specialist in the crime scene division of a Miami police department. And he's also a serial killer.
So, nice.
It's pretty amazing how they've dovetailed the story. Some of it gets a little bit far-fetched, like, okay, how would you get out of that situation now? But it's still pretty good.
Sure, so. Sure. Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen any episodes of it, but it got really good reviews when it was on. So have you watched anything else on All Access aside from Discovery? Is there anything else on there that is no?
No. I mean I watch some of the CBS shows. I watch my wife and I watch The Amazing Race together. So I guess I could watch that on CBS All Access, but I do it on demand, it's easier to watch.
Right. But Discovery is the only thing that's exclusively on All Access that you're watching.
It's definitely the only thing I'm watching on there. It's exclusive to All Access. And I think the only thing that's really totally exclusive. I mean, otherwise they have all the other series of CBS stuff with, you know, history of shows, and you can see all the episodes of all the seasons, which is kind of nice. You want to go back and watch something because sometimes seasons come and go from Netflix or from Hulu and stuff. I mean, there's not that much other stuff on CBS that I really want to watch, so.
Yeah. Quick question. Have either one of you watched Black Lightning?
Not yet.
Not yet.
I haven't yet either. And everyone is saying, a lot of folks in Slack are saying really good things about it. I'm seeing things positive about it in social media. It looks really good. The trailer for it looked fantastic. So that's something I need to find time to jump into.
Yeah, I feel like it came out of nowhere because I remember seeing ads for it like right before it came out. And I'm like, wait, where was this
immediately
thing?
Immediately before it came out. I did not hear anything about it beforehand.
It was not on my radar at all, right?
We never talked about it here.
And Tim, you're right. Everyone's jumping on it saying how great it is. And I feel like I've missed something. So I'm glad I'm not the only one that's missed all the trailers leading up to it where I'm like, wait, what?
I will tell you, the first I saw of it was last Monday when we went to go see Jumanji, and it was a trailer ahead of Jumanji.
Really?
That was the first I had seen of it. It's like, wow, it's coming out like in 2 days? What? We never talked about it on here. It was never on our radar. It was kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
How about you, John?
Yeah, John, what have you been up to?
So, Lou, kind of like you, older, but still current show, catching up on Gotham, which I 100% owe to Tim. Tim tried to get me to watch it several times, finally got around to turning it on. Not a big Batman comics fan. Batman fan, seen the movies, read a couple comics here and there. So some of the canon type of stuff goes over my head. Absolutely phenomenal show if you like origin stories and how they're developing not just the villains in the Batman universe, but slowly building Bruce Wayne at the same time and his relationship with Jim Gordon and how Jim, you know, becomes the commissioner. So really absolutely enthralled with the show. Kind of upset that I didn't jump on it from kind of the get-go. So kind of binging to catch up, but
where are you in the series now?
Midway through season three. So the character that, Jerome, who may or may not be the Joker, has just been brought back to life.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, just seeing the interplay between the Riddler and the Penguin and, the love relationship between Catwoman and, Bruce Wayne. Mm-hmm. Just and I'm one, I love me a good origin story, and so for a and I mean, be quite honest with you, that's why I enjoyed Smallville. And I know people bash Smallville as it went on. Smallville was just a 10 season long origin story, and that was just fine by me. And realizing where it was wrapping up, where he finally got on to put the tights and fly, I don't know if that's, you know, eventually how Gotham will end, where Bruce, you know, donning the costume the first time. Don't know. Mm. Wait and find out. But if you like origin stories in the superhero realm, you're willing to let go some of the canon stuff, definitely worth checking out and watching.
See, I don't have a big history of the canon comics in my mind for Batman. I never read the comics. I was never really that into him. I mean, I like the character, but... Yeah, and the series just felt kind of flat for me. It got stale after all. I think I watched the first two seasons, and I kind of got lost. And was season three The Rise of the Villains?
I think so.
I mean, it is definitely where... you see a lot more interplay between Riddler and the Penguin. And you see the Riddler more demonstrating that persona, a lot more of the question marks popping up, a lot more of him using riddles in his antagonizing of others. You see Selena kind of coming into her own too. And I mean
the production quality of the show was awesome. I thought the acting was excellent. A couple years ago at one of the Comic Cons here in Connecticut, they had what's her name? Carmen Bikendova on. And she had a panel all to herself. It was pretty good, you know, but I don't know. I just lost interest in it, I guess. I don't know.
No, and I mean, that was, people loved Breaking Bad, and I was and The Walking Dead. I got a season or two into both of them and was like, not feeling it.
Okay, yeah, and that happens with a lot of us. I mean, Breaking Bad, I did watch through the end after the fact. We binged it, my wife and I did. But you're right, The Walking Dead, I gave up on. I just... It didn't move along fast enough for me. And I'm like, it's good production quality, but yeah, I need more story.
So. Yeah. I mean, that's how I felt. And I know people that swear by it. It's must see TV. And I'm like, maybe a couple years from now, I'll go back and give it a try. But
right. Yep. No, I feel the same way.
Yeah. Gotham is it's a guilty pleasure. We've been watching it here from the get go. And it can be really great, but then it gets also really like weird and kooky and sometimes a little cheesy, but it's still a lot of fun. Great characters in it. And even if a lot of the origin stories aren't necessarily considered canonical in the Batman universe, they're still a lot of fun mm-hmm. to watch. And I think it's a great take on it. They really do the gritty Gotham environment and feeling very well. And it is, like John said, it's fun to see the interplay between the characters early on before they become the supervillains that we know them to be. So it's kind of cool to see that growth of them. Bruce Wayne, I mean, he gets to the point of being the whiny teenager that you just want to slap across the face. But yeah, you know, the rest of it's good. It's a fun series. I've been enjoying it. Anything else, John?
That's really kind of been it. A little bit of NFL for me. This is my sports season with college basketball.
Okay.
I will not bore either one of you with the trials and tribulations of Big East college basketball.
Okay, well, let's get into the box office update then for this week. So we've talked about it already. Jumanji, once again, is the ruler of the box office for the week. Brought another $20 million in, bringing its total to $316 for its five-week run.
That's crazy.
Pretty impressive. 5 weeks, still number one. Yeah. That's longer than Last Jedi stayed there.
Yeah.
So
that's absolutely true. And that's a really interesting point that, really, as soon as Jumanji came out, Star Wars just dropped.
I mean, Star Wars still is making bank. I mean, it's up over, $600 million for domestics now. But it's chugging right along. But
yeah,
Jumanji came out of nowhere. I don't think anybody expected it to do $316 million.
Well, apparently Liz did. Not that I'm bitter.
Not at all, Tim. Number two is 12 Strong. Its first week out, it made $16.5 million. I got to think that's a disappointment for the movie.
Yeah.
Den of Thieves, mm-hmm. another one I thought was going to do really well, only made $15.3 million mm-hmm. its first week. The Post is still doing well in its fifth week. Another $12 million, but again, only $45 million for its total, so that's pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
The Greatest Showman hanging in there still in its fifth week, $11 million for a total of $113. So I think that's been kind of like along the lines of what they thought it was going to do.
That is, for the posts, I think that box office, the website.
Box Office Mojo?
Box Office Mojo is getting that wrong because they listed it last week, I think also is week five. This is only week three for the post.
Really?
Yes. I believe this is only week three.
Interesting. So okay. If I go to the post right here right now and look at its weekly totals.
Because remember, last week was only its second week.
Well, it must have been in limited release December 22nd, 28th, so it was only made $1.2 million. December 29th through January 4th, it made $950,000, so it was probably limited release there again.
Oh, okay.
And then it made $2 million and $28 million. So it must have been 3 weeks of limited release, and the first week of full release was this week at $28 million for the whole week. So that's weird. I mean, I think it's one of the things, like Tim, we talked about before, where this was released just to get it on the radar for
award
shows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's it. And it's pretty amazing that Greatest Showman is still hanging on in the top five.
No, I thought that was pretty impressive.
Yeah. I mean, it's at $11 million this week, it beat out Star Wars. So Star Wars did not make even $11 million this week. And I got to say, I mean, the competition isn't all that high. I mean, 12 Strong is in second place with $16.5 million. So it's only a few million ahead of it. There really isn't There's nothing big right now. But, let's not say
the Jedi is Last Jedi is doing poorly. I mean,
oh no, it's had
still,
a good
still
run.
Number six of all time. I mean, yeah. It's $600 million.
Oh yeah, it still had a solid run. A very successful movie. But just looking at the present box office picture, it's interesting that we have two new movies that did not have a great showing for their first week, and three other films which are in their fifth week. One of them is doing still very strong, and the others are there's really nothing big in there right now.
I mean, I didn't have any big hopes for 12 Strong and Den of Thieves. I mean, I thought Den of Thieves would be a good movie to see, but I didn't think it was going to do extremely well. I mean, Gerard Butler's not a huge, you know, name draw.
Yeah.
So, next week we can look forward to The Maze Runner, The Death Cure, and Hostiles. Hostiles is getting a lot of ads on TV. I haven't seen much critical stuff about it, but
I haven't seen a lot of ads for Maze Runner, but, you know, it is a small franchise, so it will hopefully take off some from there. I just recently saw the first one, and it was pretty good. It was decent.
See, I haven't seen any of them. I want to start watching them, but I haven't seen any of them yet.
Tim, I'm not sure how small it is. I mean, so I have the advantage of having a preteen daughter who loves the dystopian future books, movies, everything of the above. So maybe I'm a bit more in tune, but the first two movies did over $300 million each. So
did they really?
They don't do too bad at the box office. I mean, most of the, like the Hunger Games, the Divergent movies, they all top out over, they do really well in the box office. I've seen the first two, they're okay movies. But I mean, the target audience they're going after love to go see them in the theater.
I didn't realize the first two did that well.
Well, I'm looking on Box Office Mojo, and it looks like Maze Runner did $102 million, and The Scorch Trials did $81
million. Did it? I thought I saw that they did. Maybe I was looking worldwide.
Maybe globally.
Maybe worldwide. Yeah, if I look at that. Yeah. Worldwide was $348 for Maze Runner.
Okay.
And the second one did $312 worldwide.
So I was looking at just
domestic stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's not a bad number worldwide. I mean, you know, I don't think these are as well-known books as, say, Hunger Games stuff.
But, no, not at all. And but they don't have the cast that the Hunger Games had.
Yeah.
No, right. They're doing respectfully well, though. Let's see here. I put this in here for Lizzie, even though she's not here. I mean, sad to see Proud Mary dropping so fast.
Yeah, like a rock.
Proud Mary dropping to 63%. That is just awful. I mean, its total right now is $16 million in 2 weeks.
Wow. Yeah, that's a rough go.
That's pretty rough.
Yeah.
So. Well, let's get into our news topics this week. We've got quite a varying list of stuff to talk about. I thought, first off, Wonder Woman 2 was announced that it's going to be the first movie to adopt the new anti-sexual harassment guidelines from the Directors Guild. And I'm reading the article and I'm looking through this. I'm like, okay, so, I mean, there's been sexual harassment training in corporate America for years.
Yeah, every company has it. Every company, every government agency. Yeah.
And even if it's not like a formal training thing you do, it's pretty much known, you know, what's right and what's wrong. Mm-hmm. And for the Directors Guild to have to come out with these set of guidelines now to say that before every production starts for a movie, they have to have sexual harassment training. Before every season of a TV show, they want them to do sexual harassment training. And they want to have people on set of both sexes to be there, to people can go to if there's something happening. I mean, these are all great things that they're doing. I'm not trying to belittle that point, but it's like, okay, Hollywood, wake up. I mean, this has been a fact that we've had to live with in workplace environment for many years. Why is it taking this long for Hollywood to start adopting these kind of rules and start enforcing this stuff?
Yeah, it seems crazy that it's kind of taken this long. Now, of course, we say that and we know that still in corporate America and government entities and that kind of stuff, regardless of having the sexual harassment guidelines and training and that kind of stuff, the stuff still unfortunately occurs. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, all these production houses, Fox and Sony, et cetera, Warner Brothers, they all have had sexual harassment policies and guidelines in place for many years. and mm-hmm. probably had the training, but the training was probably for the corporate people, not for the mm-hmm. actors that they bring in and all that kind of stuff, which are really, they're essentially temporary employees. You know, most of the cast and crew. So who probably haven't had much exposure to these types of guidelines and this kind of training. So I guess it's good that they're doing this and they're reinforcing it. But yeah, when I first read this article, I was like, wow, this just seems late. Like, yeah, I remember, really late. You know, going through this stuff back when I, you know, started, you know, working, period.
Right.
So it just kind of seems odd, but it's good that they're finally clamping down on this.
I mean, with everything that's been coming out now in Hollywood since the whole Weinstein thing happened, I mean, I think it's about time they've had this come around, but you can't tell me that these people don't know what they're doing is wrong. I mean, yeah. This has got to start way before then and be more proactive. I mean, I'm glad they're doing something, but it just seems like, wow, this is common sense. You guys shouldn't be dealing with this.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I think Gal Gadot movie with Wonder Woman 2 is a great place to kind of highlight it based on how outspoken she's been on some mm-hmm. of these issues as well. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I think that just lends to, again, shocking that this has to be the first movie where this is happening. But, you know, again, I think it's the right, a good one for it to happen on.
Right. Oh, I agree too. I think definitely with the attention she's brought to it, and Patty Jenkins, I think it makes sense to really start to bring more attention to this now, instead of just wearing black dresses and pins to award shows, which, you know, it's great to bring that awareness, but now let's actually start doing something. And I think that this mm-hmm. is a good and important step in doing something about it. You can't right. correct what happened in the past, but you can fix things moving forward. And I think this is important.
Exactly. While we're talking about subject of making things happen the right way, Scarlett Johansson is going to be getting a huge payday for the Black Widow movie.
Yeah.
Well-deserved.
Yeah, exactly well-deserved. I mean, but this also tells you how much Disney's banking on this movie and what they think it's going to do. So they're going to give her a $25 million payday just to do the movie. And I guess this is part of her renegotiation for her contract for the MCU going forward. So she's I think, one of the longest-running characters in the MCU.
Yeah.
She's been in, what, 5 movies, I think? So, yeah, I mean, she's got a good run going. Exactly. Yep. And they're giving her this huge benefit now, being $25 million plus a $6 million bonus that the movie grosses more than $900 million worldwide, which, I mean, that's a tall order to do. But, you know, hey, I mean, if it does it, she's got another $6 million in her pocket. And I'm surprised to read this article. Disney feels that the Black Widow movie is going to outpace Wonder Woman.
I think it can.
And really, see, this is the most controversial part in my mind. I don't think it can.
I'm with you, Lou. Black Widow is not Wonder Woman.
But I mean, when you think about the character names, I mean, Wonder Woman. Okay, sure. Everybody knows Wonder Woman. It's like Superman. It's like Batman. Everybody knows who Wonder Woman is. You say Black Widow. It's okay. I mean, some people will know. The mainstream people, I don't think will.
I think it. If they tie it in with her history with Bucky, Winter Soldier, you know, kind of some of the origin, I think that helps. But just right. Black Widow on her own, I mean, okay. I'm going to go and see it, but I don't think it carries.
I will too, and I think it's going to be an amazing movie. I mean, Scarlett Johansson does a great job. But, you know, take the MCU stuff out of this. Before mm-hmm. that happened, now, I admit, I'm not a comic book guy. I didn't read a lot of the books. I didn't know who Black Widow was.
Really? Okay.
No, I didn't. I mean, I just didn't read the Marvel comics when I was a kid of those stories. And I didn't know the character. I mean, I do now. And people that have seen the MCU obviously do now. But the Wonder Woman name, I think more people knew that name outside of of what's happened on the movie screen.
They have.
Right. I mean, it's a more common name.
Sure. What I will say here is that Black Widow has been established as a strong character through all these MCU movies, and she's had a pretty prominent role. I'm particularly Captain America 2 was, I mean, that could have been a Black Widow movie. by and large, they could have retitled that, change a couple of things in it, and that could have been a Black Widow movie, because so much of that film was focused on her. And she had, you know, such a strong showing in that movie. We look at that film, and yeah, I understand that film had the Captain America banner, which certainly a lot more people recognize than Black Widow, but we're looking at $714 million worldwide. I think that a Black Widow movie can make a really good showing. There's been a lot of people who have wanted a Black Widow movie to come up, myself included. I think you guys as well. I'm sure there's a change.org petition that's up there for one. for as much as I'm opposed to that, I mean, she's done really well. She kicks ass with the character. And she's really become that character kind of as a proxy for Nick Fury. Even though she's not like this S.H.I.E.L.D. executive, she's this agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. that acts with the authority of S.H.I.E.L.D., or at least when S.H.I.E.L.D. fully existed. And she has become that centerpiece. She's the one who draws a lot of these characters together and really draws the Avengers together. And her role is a lot more subtle. Iron Man obviously takes a leadership role in this. Captain America takes a leadership role. But she's the one that really pulls things, I think, together behind the scenes and leverages in a lot of these characters. So, you know, she has this great relationship with Banner. She has a great relationship with Hawkeye. And these are the subtle things that I think draw it together. So I think she's a real strong character. And the Eagles, by the way, just won. So the Super Bowl will be the Eagles and the Patriots in Minnesota.
Yes. And the last time they met in the Super Bowl in 2004, Patriots won. So,
Well, Lou, that's easy because the Eagles trophy closet is empty. I grew up in Philadelphia. I feel that. Going back to Black Widow, Tim, I don't disagree with anything that you've said, but how many standalone, like in the individual Marvel movies have topped out over 900 million worldwide? I mean,
I'm looking at that on Box Office Mojo, for at least, for example, here. I mean, and this is all MCU stuff. The Avengers did, Age of Ultron did, Iron Man 3 did, Civil War did. Looking down through the list here.
What about some of the Thors? Because I'd kind of put her on the Thor level.
Yeah, Thor Ragnarok did 851.
I think a lot of it comes down to marketing too. They
that's true.
This is a film they need to market the proper way.
It does. You're right. I just don't think it has the name recognition that's going to get that movie over 900 million. I mean, to date, I'm looking at Box Office Mojo. Only 45 movies have hit $900 million.
Sure.
And that's a lot. I mean, 45 movies is a lot of movies, but I just don't see that movie doing it. And Disney even said if it doesn't hit 45 million, it's not that it's a failure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure it's going to do really well. It's going to be, you know, worldwide 600-800 million.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I just don't think that, you know, when they compare it to Wonder Woman, I mean, I don't think it's going to do close to what Wonder Woman did. I mean, I just don't see it.
So here's my question. Do they take a step back and do a Black Widow origin story? Or do they do a movie that is connected to the current, or at the time current, MCU and have the ability to draw in some other ancillary characters?
Well, have they gone back and done origin stories for anybody else? Like outside of the timeline right now?
Well, they did Ant-Man.
Yeah, that was a bit of an origin story, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was within the current timeline.
But it was within the timeline. Yeah,
because
right.
he had the interaction with Falcon, which was very current.
Yep.
I don't think they have.
Yeah, I don't think they have either. But we know that her origin story does go back. Her origin story goes back before Avengers.
And I would love to see, as I said, what is that interaction with the Winter Soldier? I mean, the line in Civil War where she says something along the lines of, like, you could at least pretend to recognize me when he's choking her. Mm-hmm. I mean, showing their history, showing her history with Hawkeye and Clint and going back to that. Like, I would like to see, I mean, it's all alluded to. That's what would get me to the theater is to see. But again, I've already stated I'm an origin story guy. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's right up my alley. Yeah.
I mean, I think they'd be better off doing a story in timeline and just maybe allude to something that she's done in the past, but give her her own story that's set current.
I mean,
with the MCU.
They could always do one of those types of stories that has regular flashbacks. So as she's dealing with a present day issue, they're doing flashbacks to things that were related to what she's dealing with now, back when she was first recruited by the Russians and she's in her training and going through that kind of stuff. So I mean, they could always kind of walk that line and try both, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. So you still get that origin perspective, but it's still also very current and in step with what we know in the MCU. But it'll be interesting. I mean, obviously, this is going to be well past Infinity War, so we don't know what the landscape is going to look like after Infinity War. So,
true. I was actually about to bring that up. Does this mean that she lives?
Who knows?
Maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah. Moving along here, you know, Tim, I was realizing I left one thing out of our show notes.
What's that?
The Ready Player One stuff.
Oh, yes.
And I must have copied over by accident. So there was a new Ready Player One trailer dropped today, was it, or yesterday?
Today, I think.
And a featurette, too. Mm-hmm. Did you guys both have a chance to watch that? I know it's not in the show notes.
No, I have not.
Springy on you. Okay.
I did.
Tim, you did, though, right?
Yeah, and I liked it a lot. And I think what the great thing that it did, and for those who haven't seen it, definitely go out and jump into YouTube and take a look at it. It starts off with little clips, imagery from other Spielberg films. So it hits you with imagery from Jurassic Park and E.T. and Back to the Future and other films. And it then kind of goes into this commentary from Spielberg talking about why he got involved in this project. And you also get commentary from... who's the author? Ernie Cline, about why he did the project and the inspiration really centering on Spielberg films. Even though Ready Player One covers so much of 80s pop culture, like the centerpiece of it is Steven Spielberg stuff. And I think, honestly, it is for us, too. When we look back at the 80s, it's like so much of the pop culture influence came from Steven Spielberg.
It's funny. You watch this and you hear the two guys both talking about each other. And, you know, Spielberg's saying that Ernie Cline is like, he knows the future. He's seen this stuff. He's got this down. It's really, really well done. I can't wait to, I'm working on this with him. And I wanted him to be a big part of working on the movie with me. And you got Ernie Cline talking about Spielberg saying, it's like a childhood dream working with this guy. It's like, he shaped my personality and how I'm doing my movie or writing these books. Yep. And it's like, wow, this is, you know, that gave me a lot better feeling about the movie than any of the trailers I've seen online have so far.
And so not only did I like that interaction and the two of them telling kind of this story about their excitement and their anticipation about this film, but I think it also made the film more accessible to people who were watching this trailer. Or this featurette. And I hope it's somehow tied together, and I hope this ends up on TV as promotional material for the movie, because the trailers that have been out there, and while the trailers have been good, if you've read the book, you get the trailers. Oh, yeah. Hey, I remember that scene. I remember that scene. There's a couple scenes in there that I were not in the book.
But if you read the book, also you see the trailers, you're going, no, that's not what I know. That's not what I read.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. There's definitely a couple scenes in the trailer that are not in the book, but a lot of it still draws you in. Or if you, for some reason you haven't read the book, but you're still a big sci-fi fan, I think the trailers will draw you in there. But if you're neither, I think just because of how much of an homage this story plays to 80s pop culture, you're missing out if you don't read the book or you don't go see the movie. So I think that this little featurette ahead of the trailer hopefully is talking to a broader audience and bringing them in. The people who liked E.T., the people who liked Back to the Future, the people who liked Indiana Jones, they're going to say, really, this is kind of like a part of this movie? I'm my curiosity has piqued. I want to know about it. So hopefully that draws more people in.
So as someone who has not read the book
yet, but based
on, but it, well, here's the question.
We just had based this conversation on, and yesterday.
Tim, I think we lost John. I can't hear him anymore.
And I haven't seen the trailers yet because I generally, on some things, try to avoid trailers. So you guys have seen the trailers. You've both read the book. Do I read the book first?
Yeah.
And then go see the movie? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and that's the question, is because sometimes you can go different ways. So it's worth reading before going.
Yes.
Yeah. I do some books where I do the movie first and the book later. More often than not, I want to read the book first. In this case, the book is so rich and so well done. I read the book first because there's so much you're going to get out of that.
And the book is so visual. I mean, as you're reading it, you're envisioning all this stuff. And it's just one of those things that as you're reading this book, you're like, oh my, I mean, before this movie was ever announced, it's like, oh my God, I need to see this. I want to see this stuff visually, not just in my head, but with my eyes. And now knowing that that's going to happen, it just builds anticipation more.
And it's one of the drawbacks too, though, Tim, because, you know, you have this visual thought in your mind of how this is going to play out, and you see some of the stuff in the trailer, and I'm like,
true,
no, that's not how I envisioned that at all. And it's like, well, that's going to be interesting how that plays out.
Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out what this car chase is, or this race that they show in every trailer. And I'm like, that's nowhere in the book. I don't know where they're putting this in. And it's fine that they put it in. I'm totally good. And I understand the fact that, you know, books don't 100% translate to film. So you have to make changes. You know, maybe there's a downturn in the book where they put this action sequence in, or they use it in lieu of something else. And I'm okay with that. That's fine. But
and that was something that Spielberg even said in that featurette. He's like, you know, I worked with Ernie to find out where the movie was inside that story.
Yes. Hmm. Yeah.
You know, so he actively knew he had to work with him to figure out what we're going to put on screen, what we're not going to put on screen, what's going to work well, what won't, and piece it together from there. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that because there's a car chase scene in this movie that I'm totally out because it wasn't one in the book, but I want to see where they're going to fit it in. Like you said, Tim, how it's going to play out and how they make it in part of the story is going to be a big deal for me. So,
yeah, but John, definitely read it.
Read first.
We had this conversation 2 days ago. Just do it.
And you haven't read it yet? Tim, come on.
Tim, I know we had that conversation, but I was trying to, you know, bring a topic in. Sorry.
No, but
for the record, I do read books. I even read Star Wars books. I just, you know, feel like you can throw that out there.
See, I don't even read. I just do audiobooks now. And the audiobook in this case is awesome because Will Wheaton narrates it, and he does a great job with it. So,
I've actually read this and listened to it, and both are incredible. I mean, reading it, I knocked it off in like 4 days or something. It consumed my life. I could not put the freaking book down. So,
I remember that. You sent me texts about it.
Yeah.
Tim tends to overshare sometimes.
Lou, you have no idea.
Okay, moving right along. Let's see. Cloak and Dagger, a new Marvel product, is being put onto Freeform, which is an ABC property, right? That's used to be the old ABC family. Sneak peek is out now. It looks interesting. I mean, more people with special abilities type thing, a la Mutants. Freeform has been kind of family-esque, kind of a little bit above family-esque stuff sometimes, so series might be pretty good, except for June 7th. I don't know if you guys have watched that or into that. I don't know much about Cloak & Dagger beyond that, but Cloak & Dagger are the two main characters in the show.
I've been looking forward to it. In the comics, I mean, I'm aware of the characters in a lot of my comic history, I think as both of you guys know, is Ghost Rider, Punisher kind of stuff, a little bit of Doctor Strange. So I've had Cloak and Dagger kind of Moon Knight. So I've had Cloak and Dagger kind of tangentially come into storylines that I've read before, but I don't know a lot about them. The trailer looks pretty good to me, but the only thing I'm concerned with is that it looks to be very much an angsty teenager series. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to watch an angsty teenager series. I don't know if that's the origin of Cloak and Dagger, is if they're teenagers, where this whole thing starts off for them. I don't know their origin story. So
yeah, it starts out as, I guess, they become romantically involved. So there's something going on there. It's on ABC Family, so they're into that whole teen angsty thing now. So we'll see. I mean, 10 episodes long. I'll give it 10 episodes, see how it plays out.
Oh, I will too.
I mean, I gave a chance to The Gifted. That worked out pretty well this season. I don't know if you guys watched Gifted or not this year.
I got into a few episodes of it, and I like it, and I need to continue watching it.
I thought the season finale last week was awesome. So, yeah, no, it's good.
John, your thoughts?
So, yeah.
I've yet, minus the Netflix Marvel shows, to really... I mean, Shield's good. It's okay. I've seen a couple of episodes of The Gifted. It's okay. So I'm hesitant on it. I I'm a Marvel X-Men comics. That's what I grew up on. That was my bread and butter. I would love for a phenomenal show to come out kind of tying with that. So I'll give it a chance. But you know, well, I'm not quite a give it 10 episodes. I generally give a show 3 episodes, and if it hooks me, I'm in. If it doesn't, then I punch out and, you know, watch it 5 years later on Netflix.
Well, maybe I should be more strict like you guys are. I give things a season usually. I get wrapped up and I'm like, oh, why did I watch this for a whole season?
I gave Inhumans 1 episode. I could not get through barely got through the first episode, and I'm like, no, this is so bad. I'm not watching.
And it. I thought by the end of the Inhumans first season, it really found its legs and it was doing really, really well. Thought they set up for a great return to the having everything working out, and then it's canceled. So I'm like, okay,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, and that's actually a tidbit here that wasn't in our show notes either. That it seems to be that it's pretty much canceled. The CBS has just kind of said, not interested.
Yeah. And, you know, I've said this before on the show. The reason why I give, TV shows a season is because the writing staff has to find their voice for the characters. The actors have to find out who the characters are and how to play them.
Fair enough.
And a lot of the best series I've ever watched, the first season's pretty rough. And after that, they find themselves and the characters become alive. And, I'm looking at most of the Star Trek stuff. First seasons of The Next Generation and Deep Space Nine were just horrible. But Deep Space Nine especially turned out to be a really good series towards the end. Mm-hmm. So.
And that's true. I mean, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was that way. And it took Tim saying, look, you got to get past, I think it was like, episodes like 7 or 8. He's like, get past that and you're fine. But just... So, I mean, and that's true. I mean, but that's generally like, I'll go back and rewatch them when I can binge them and just... not have to wait week to week. And then I'm like, okay. And generally the great thing is nowadays like something like The Gifted, it'll be available somewhere for me to be able to do that before season 2 comes out.
Oh, yeah.
If it gets picked up again.
Yeah.
Right. I'll go back and do that and then be like, then get it full. But like week to week type ones, I if it doesn't hook me automatically, I wait for the binge opportunity.
Yep.
Yeah. Binging is definitely a nicer way to watch stuff sometimes. So. Plus, it stays with you better, and you can see it from episode to episode. You're not going, what happened last week? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see here. We have a Heather's reboot coming up. Oh, boy.
No.
Paramount Network is doing a series on the movie from, the 80s,
have no idea what you're talking about.
You've never seen Heather's?
No.
Oh, my God, Tim. Come on. John?
No, and I've seen it. I mean, it is definitely a cult classic. It was good.
So Winona you Ryder's, have seen the movie, right?
Yeah, Christian Slater. It was great. Yeah. I watched the trailer for this, and I said, oh, no.
Yeah, no. Exactly. I mean, you know, the thing I don't get is the movie was a flop in the theaters. It did like 100 and something in its total run, I think it was. Mm-hmm. It was pretty poor. And now you've got this. It was 88. So now you're what, 30 years later? We're going to do a TV series? I mean, you know, society's changed. Kids have changed. It's not the same thing as it was. I just don't. I just don't get it.
And to me, spoiler alert, in the original, the whole point was he's trying to blow up a gym full of kids. The climate today, my first thought was, didn't that involve blowing up kids in a high school gym? That's not going to play very well today.
Right, right. And it was something about there was a death of one of the kids. I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen it.
It's death, it's bullying. I mean, there's a lot of issues that it treated kind of lightly, which in 88, that's how things were. And nowadays, I'd almost be curious how they do treat some of these issues, but the trailer did not make me want to convince me to watch it at all.
No, and the trailer kind of made it look like they're kind of blowing off some of that stuff. Like it's not a big deal. And I'm like, it's a big deal today. You know, it's like, these things aren't going to fly in terms of the general public. So I just don't understand why they're going to make a series out of something that was a critical or a financial flop at the box office. It's become a cult classic. But how often does a remake of a cult classic work? There's a cult classic for reasons besides being a good movie. It's like,
They don't. The Highlander movies. I mean, the first one, a cult classic, great. They failed at making sequels because, well, it was a movie that doesn't have a sequel. It ends.
Right, right.
They made TV shows that were okay, but they're going to remake that again. And I think the reason being is, you know, it's been said before, is that, you know, why come up with new ideas when you can just recycle what worked years ago?
Yeah, and it's not going to work the second time. So
I'm waiting for the Princess Bride remake, personally.
No, 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 no.
I hear The Rock's going to star in it.
Oh, then I'm in.
Yeah, there's just some movies you shouldn't remake. So I don't know. Let's see. Justice League is coming to disc and digital soon, February 13th for digital downloads, and March 13th for discs, both Blu-ray and 4K coming out. So that's pretty good. There's a ton of features on these movies, and there's a list of some stuff on the high def release, some stuff on the 4K release. So I'm not going to go through all of everything that's out there, but it looks like a lot of extra stuff on these discs and on the digital download. So I'm definitely going to pick that up because I want to see what they have to talk about and how they can explain some of the stuff that we didn't like.
Does it include the Zack Snyder cut?
Stop.
Did the change.org petition, was that successful?
No, it was not successful, I guess, because all of them say theatrical release, and that's all they say. So,
damn it, Tim, why didn't you get on that petition?
Yeah, I know.
Let's see here. Oh, a new Tomb Raider trailer dropped. You guys see this on the trailer?
Yeah. I did.
What'd you guys think?
I liked it. And I liked it as a guy who played the video games growing up. This, to me, this, take away the Tomb Raider name or any history associated with it, it seemed just like a good kind of start of an action movie series. Mm-hmm. I didn't read like a video game. It didn't, you know, kind of tie to the previous movies. I mean, there were some things in it that if you played the video games, you know, you got the final line where she's holding up, you know, both pistols and says, you know, I'll take two, got me to chuckle because of, you know, the scenes within the video game. But minus really that, it just looked like a good action movie with a female lead.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my whole thing in this is like, if you don't attach a Tomb Raider name to it, how well is it going to do? I mean, it might be a good action movie, and you know, Alicia Vikander is a name to go see, obviously, because she's done some good stuff. But is it going to be a financial success? Now you put the Tomb Raider name onto it, and maybe you're going to get more people going to see it. But I just don't think we need to remake that movie franchise.
I mean, what's the studio that owns this? Ooh, sorry about that.
I don't know. Is it Sony?
So if it is Sony, for the sake of argument, Sony would disagree with you. They would like to see some money made. And so that's why they would love to reboot this. It is popular. There is money to be made from it. There is a good fan base of it. You know, Angelina Jolie is done with it. They recasted mm-hmm. the role. They're kind of retelling the story. I like that this is a... It seems she is relatively skilled. She's certainly very athletic. She's relatively skilled. She's younger. She's more naive than the Angelina Jolie portrayal of the character. And I think that can pay off because we're going to see more character development. With Angelina Jolie's portrayal, while she did very well and was very popular, we didn't really see a lot of character development for her. What we got was what we got. What we saw in the first minute of her was the same thing through everything that she did with that character. I think here we're going to see some good character development. Character development, to me, is a solid foundation for a franchise.
And when was the last Tomb Raider video game? I mean, it's not a franchise I play anymore. So, I mean, does it still carry that name recognition?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know when the last video game was out.
I mean, it was something I played in college.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was 20 years ago, not to date myself, but... I mean, it's been a long time since, to me, the video game's been relevant. So, I mean, but maybe it still is.
I think they did one a few years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, but I come back down to the same thing before, though, of do we really need another Tomb Raider movie? I mean, the movie was good. The franchise ran, what, two movies? It was Tomb Raider and... The Cradle of Life, I mm-hmm. guess, right? And they were good. Angelina Jolie did a great job with the character. It was a grab for money based on a video game that had a sexy female lead, and they found that for the movie lead too, and it worked well. But I mean, there wasn't a ton of money made in those movies. I mean, Tomb Raider made $131 domestic, and Cradle of Life made $65 million domestic.
That's still good money. It's not outstanding, but that's above average money.
But I can't imagine putting a movie out today and making $100 million on it, thinking it's worth it when the budget today is probably huge.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess with movies like that where there's a lot of stuff put into background, there's a lot of soundstage work, there's a lot of. Maybe not necessarily, CGI type effects, but there's other effects, practical effects and such that go into it. So,
young female athletic leads sell nowadays. And is this just slapping the Tomb Raider name on as a way to start another franchise so that they can build and do two or three movies with a recognizable name in order to kind of kickstart it through?
And I guess that's the problem. I guess that's the problem I have with it is putting the name Tomb Raider on it. Mm-hmm. I'm not begrudging them making the movie. I think, the actor that plays Lara Croft is amazing. I mean, she does some great stuff. I've seen her in other movies. I love her as an actress. She looks amazing in this role. But you know what? Make something new. We don't need to have this be called Tomb Raider. But
then people are going to say, this is just a really thing that's derivative of Tomb Raider.
I guess you could be right with that.
And again, whoever the production studio is on this, I mean, they're foolish to, they own the license. They're foolish to not use it.
It's Warner Brothers. It is Warner Brothers.
So, I mean, it's foolish to have a license like this stay dormant for too long. They might as well use it. I don't begrudge them that. I think it's good marketing, and they can draw upon the lore. They can draw upon a fan base. And I think maybe with this, their play for Alicia Vikander and kind of rebooting this, they can use the name to draw in an older audience, but they can also use the actress to draw in a younger audience. So
absolutely.
If you're looking, just like we were talking about things like Maze Runner and such, maybe you're going to pull in, John's daughter as part of the demographic into this, if they can draw some interest.
That's true. I mean, I guess I just get cynical because it looks like it's a money grab.
Sure it is.
But if they really do something with this,
it absolutely is. There's no way around that.
Right. But I mean, I don't mind if they do a money grab and they're doing something behind it to make a serious franchise develop from it. But I just don't think this is the property to do it with. But in answer to your question, John, about video games, there has been video game releases up through 2015.
Okay.
So still fairly recent. Tomb Raider.
All right. So it's still fairly recent. But
yeah, there was a 10 release, a 13 release, a 14 release, and a 15 release. So.
All right.
Yeah, still pretty relevant, I guess. So we'll see how that does. The trailer does look awesome, though. Oh, yeah. The special effects and the action scenes look pretty amazing. So I will probably go see it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
No, oh, absolutely.
I think it brings us to the end of our news. And now we actually have a What Were They Thinking Weekly coming back again this week. It's something that we had talked about on Slack, I think, yesterday, maybe, or was it today?
Today, I think.
So Screen Rant had a story and the trailer up for, speaking of sequels and or remakes, Dundee. So in reference to the Crocodile Dundee movies of, was it the 80s? Yeah. Were those? Those were the 80s. With Paul Hogan, Danny McBride is playing the son of Crocodile Dundee, who is, I guess, looking for his missing father. And the trailer is really nothing more than just a teaser of him, you know, standing on a very picturesque Australian outback scene and doing the whole that's not a knife thing. And I'm like, oh, my God, why do we need this movie? Did either one of you guys watch this trailer and go, yeah, okay, I'm on board?
No.
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 Okay, good.
No, this looks like a parody. I mean, this is them turning the movie into a... Again, the impression that I'm getting from this as a teaser is that they're turning what was a pretty good movie at the time, a solid comedy, into a parody of itself. They're taking that comedy element further and no.
There was a lot of comedy in that movie back in the day.
Oh, yeah, there was.
And I don't know how it holds up today because I haven't seen it in years, but... Back in the day, even though there was an action element to it, it was more of a comedy than anything else. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty much slapstick and pretty much just, you know, fish out of water type movie.
There were some serious messages in that movie, though, too.
Sure.
You know, they talked about Aboriginal rights and some other things that were pretty well grounded topics. And mm-hmm. they wove them nicely into what was largely a comedy.
Lou, you talked about something being a money grab.
Well, yeah, this is it.
this is the money grab. This is
literally it. But I just don't think, I mean, how much money are they going to grab with this? I mean, it was 86 was the original Crocodile Dundee. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, unless you're of a certain age, this movie didn't have much staying power, I don't think. I don't know how many people watch this as kids today, right?
Yeah, younger audiences probably aren't familiar with it at all. I mean, it's not something that plays on TV regularly. It's not something that you see out there. So I don't see this going very far.
Although you do still hear the that's not a knife reference quite a bit. I mean, that's not...
You do, but...
Not that it's real common, but it's out there.
But that's really become more kind of a pop culture lexicon. I mean, there are certain phrases, certain things that get referenced. You know, you can say, yo, Adrian... As Lou does very well.
Mm-hmm. You'll know.
And there's people who have never seen Rocky.
Right.
They understand that's a comedic reference. Maybe they even understand that comes from a Rocky film, but they've probably never seen a Rocky film. Just like that's not a knife. This is a knife. A lot of people I'm betting have not seen Crocodile Dundee unless they are, around our age or older.
Hmm? Yep. So gosh, yeah, I don't know what else to say about this besides. I mean, it is obviously a money grab, and that is the what they were thinking. But I mean, come on. I mean, I just don't. I actually hope this was just a joke. We're not going to see this as a real movie, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think we're going to get it.
Yeah,
I think Tim's looking forward to buying it in the next movie draft, though.
He probably will
for the $20 million that it'll make. Probably not.
Yeah. Oh, come on, Tim. This is right up your alley.
If you can buy it for a dollar, Tim.
Yeah, if I can buy it for $3 at the most. Not that I want to reveal my strategy. Hopefully everyone will forget about this.
Tim, I think everybody knows your strategy.
It's amazing. I was telling people, so if for listeners who aren't aware, there's a number of us who are also in, what's it called, Fantasy Movie League?
Yes.
You guys just got on this week. Eric and I were the first two in the random chatter portion of it. And I know Eric mentioned it on one of his shows, one of his shorts. We actually have a link to it somewhere on the Random Chatter website. Off the top of my head, I don't know where. But folks can join in and join in with, we have hosts in there. We have a bunch of our Slack people in there. We have some other listeners in there. And Fantasy Movie League is like doing our movie draft, except it's done week by week. And as it turns out, I'm actually amazingly pretty good at that. Whereas the Random Chatter movie draft, I suck. I suck so bad. I have no idea why. It might have to do with the quantity of alcohol that I consume when I do the movie draft. I'm not quite sure.
Probably.
But yeah, there's the people can't see this, but Lou's showing the trophy,
which I have to send to Lizzie. Actually,
that's right. So yeah, I suck horribly at our movie draft, but I love doing it. It's such a good time.
See, now I finished third this week, which I was pretty happy with. My first outing to finish third out of.
It's not official yet. The official results will come out tomorrow.
Yeah, I went up one space throughout the day. I was proud of that.
Well, there you go. Nice. But, I didn't know you could buy the same movie more than once, which seems like cheating to me, but okay.
I made the same mistake in my first week. Yes, you can buy the movie several times and have it in there because you're filling eight theaters, eight screens.
Right.
So you can have the same film in there in multiple screens.
Because otherwise I would not have bought Den of Thieves, Insidious, Pitch Perfect 3 again. Come on. But I still finished third. I'm okay with that.
I was
going
to say, you beat me. I'm just happy I beat Eric.
Well, you left two screens blank, too, which you get a penalty for.
Oh, do you? Well, I ran out of money. I didn't know that.
You get a $2 million per screen penalty for whatever screens you leave blank.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah. Well, see, I didn't know that. I ran out of money and just said, screw it.
See, I ran out of money once and told me that. I'm like, ooh, I guess I can't do that. So what can I do? And then I'm looking, I'm like, well, wait, how does he have four of Star Wars The Last Jedi? I'm like, that doesn't make sense. All right. But okay. I see how it's played.
But hey, I mean, I it looks like I'm going to win this one. I won last week's. It's incredible. I have no idea how I'm doing this. Yeah, in the random chatter draft, no. Bomb every single time.
How many weeks does this go for before we reset and start from scratch again?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, I know they have a monthly one, but I think maybe they do it by quarters, similar to how we do ours. I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure.
Okay, so starting in week eight is probably a big deficit for me and John. Yeah, okay.
Well, but that's okay. I mean, it'll still give you an opportunity to have some fun with it and get a good feel for it, and maybe even figure out your own strategy.
It's definitely fun to play. So yeah, I'm looking forward to finishing this out. So
absolutely.
Well, I think that brings us to the end of the show. Unless you guys have anything else you want to add?
Yeah. Is there anything? There's nothing for me, but I kind of want to give John the opportunity as our guest to. Give some final remarks before we go into our closing spiel.
No, I mean, as a fan, getting the opportunity to kind of sit in has been fantastic. Absolute ton of fun. Greatly appreciate Tim giving me the hot call to jump on. As a fan of radio and podcasts, the ability to do it is kind of, smile ear to ear. So appreciate the opportunity and getting to chat with you guys.
Cool.
Nice. So basically we had John standing by in the alerted aircraft ready to go if we needed them, right?
Yes.
Yes. I was ready.
Nice. So when we hit the appropriate DEFCON level, we were able to. So, in a few days.
And the whole time I've been printing up signs to find Liz. So
In a few days, John, you'll be able to hear your voice on a podcast.
Absolutely.
As will other people.
It'll be weird, I think.
There you go. Okay. Well, again, it was great to have you on, John. I'm glad you could fill in last minute for us. That was awesome. If anybody has any feedback for us, they can get a hold of us by sending an email to us. The email address is randomchatter@randomchatter.com. Best way to reach us, it reaches all three hosts. And, of course, you can find us online as well, too. We're on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/randomchatternetwork, that's our page for the network itself. You can find the network on Twitter. It's @randomchatter. You can find me on Twitter. It's just at my name. It's @lousecki, L-O-U-S-E-C-K-I. You can find Lizzie online on Twitter. She's @nerdinthecity. And Tim, where can we find you online?
On Twitter, @QuigonTim. That's Tim with two M's.
And John, are you online anywhere? Do you want to divulge people your handle?
Sure. It's @_, because it's a famous name, John Stewart.
Nice.
That's J-O-N.
J-O-N, just like the actor.
And Stewart with a W.
The Scottish spelling, yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Please be sure to check out all of our shows at randomchatter.com. We have good stuff up there. You can listen to our shows right off the website. You can kind of see the full catalog by show, what we have up there, what some of the new releases are. You can check out our different blogs that we have up there. I just today posted, actually just before we started recording, posted another edition of About Bond. I talk about some James Bond villains. And a couple days ago, I wrote an article about something. It was a Star Wars thing. It was about this whole concept of gray Jedi, which is kind of a controversial thing in the Star Wars universe. I was inspired on the topic by the Lattes with Leia show over at the Coffee with Kenobi Network, and ended up throwing something up on our blog about it. So there's blog posts from me. There's blog posts from other people on there. We have a pretty regular poll that Carrie posts up there. Thank you, Carrie. She actually just put something up recently. So please check us out at randomchatter.com. And again, you can find all of our shows on there and news about the network.
And of course, we'd appreciate if you spread the word about the shows in the network itself. Leave us reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever else you get your podcasts from. And of course, if you have friends that are into the same things you are, they'd probably like to listen to the same things you do as well. So tell them about us as well at the water cooler or people on the street at the bus stop, or if you find your friends hanging out.
And maybe you don't have friends, and that's okay. You can still show.
Wow, Tim.
You can still show us some love on Patreon. We are, you know, the Random Chatter Network is essentially an organization, and as an organization, we have certain costs associated with podcasting. So we have our we talked about our website. We have website hosting fees. We have data fees because podcasts take up, you know, data stuff. We just actually had to re-up our website a few months ago. We have podcasting equipment and all sorts of other types of expenses that are out there. So throwing us some financial support is definitely a big help, because otherwise it would be coming out of our pockets. So you can head over to patreon.com/randomchatter. And from there, you can check out the different levels that you can contribute. The lowest one is $1 a month. And while that doesn't sound like much, that still means a lot to us. That's $12 a year that we get, and that $12 can go toward stuff and help us cover some of our expenses. For everything that you contribute to us, we give something back. So just that $1 a month, that minimum contribution level will get you access to our Slack community, which is a lot of fun. We reference it in pretty much all of our shows. You get to hang out with hosts and other listeners and fans and talk about a whole variety of different things. We have channels set up in there for all of our shows. We have channels set up in there for other interests. So I actually have it open right now on my desktop. So if you're looking at topics like collecting or comics or food or Game of Thrones, there's a channel in there for the movie draft and movies and music and pets and politics and all sorts of fun stuff. You can get in there and get into some great discussions with people. And it's a really good, friendly community and some really good discussion with folks. But it doesn't end there. I mean, that's not the only thing we give to you. So again, take a look, patreon.com/randomchatter. There are different levels of perks. So you contribute $5 a month or $10 a month, and you will get different things. We have premium content that we can throw at you. There's things that don't get released to the public. So you can, you know, hear me swear on things that don't end up edited. There's all sorts of fun things that can go out there. So please check us out at patreon.com/randomchatter. We also like to thank the people that help support us. And actually, one of our supporters is Blue Stolly, who is providing us with the ability to use their music for Random Chatter. And so the music that you hear on this show is The Perfect Heist by Blue Stolly. Thank you, Blue Stolly. And thank you to all of our listeners and our Patreon donors, who are basically our sponsors. Lou, take us out of here.
Yeah. I am ready to get us gone. So see you guys next week. As Tim finishes his wine.
There it is.
Night, everybody.